Here is your Radio Theater Channel weekly podcast for download. The RTC still has the very best old-time radio on the live streaming. And if it's music you love, tune in to the RTC Music Channel, where this link and many others are on our website at oldtimeradiolisten.com. Now, here's Jim.
Hello and welcome to the RTC Weekly Download. I'm your host for this hour. Jim Dolan is the name. We have some Armed Forces radio shows to play for you this week. And we're going to start off with the big story. And this is a true crime kind of thing. It's called The Biggest Catch, and it's from 1953.
The Big Story.
Hey, mister.
Yeah?
How do we get on the road to Racine?
Keep straight on this road for about a half mile. There's a stoplight there. Take the right-hand turn. That'll bring you right onto the turnpike.
Sounds kind of complicated, doesn't it, boys?
Yeah, it sure does.
Why, no, it's very simple.
We think it's complicated. Suppose you get in the car and show us the way, Vaughn.
Oh, wait a minute. How do you know my name?
Get in the car.
Now, look here.
Get in the car, Vaughn. Come on, get in before I blow your head off.
The Big Story. The story you're about to hear actually happened. It happened in Elkhorn, Wisconsin. It's authentic and is offered as a tribute to the men and women of the great American newspapers. From the front pages of the Elkhorn Independent, the story of a cub reporter who used a fish story to make the biggest catch of his career in the world of crime. Elkhorn, Wisconsin. The story as it actually happened. Don Morrissey's story as he lived it.
You're just a kid, Don Morrissey, but you've got a dream. And that dream is to be a newspaper reporter. Elkhorn is your hometown, but it so happens that you're a junior studying journalism at Marquette University. At the beginning of this particular summer, you're doing part-time work as correspondent for the UP and AP in your hometown. But you've got your eye on the future, Don Morrissey. And one day in late June, you walk up to the editor of the Elkhorn Independent, a weekly.
Mr. Merritt? I wonder if I could talk to you for just a minute.
Make it just a minute, Don. Got a paper to get out here. We go to press tomorrow.
Yes, sir, I know.
What's on your mind?
Well, Mr. Merritt, the fact is, I graduate from Marquette next year, and I thought maybe you'd be interested.
Why don't you come right out and say it, son? You want a job with the Independent next year.
Yes, sir. I'm working part-time for the AP and UP right now, but if you could take me on full-time next year, why, I'd sure appreciate it.
Oh, you want to be a full-time reporter, do you?
Yes, sir. That's all I've ever thought of. That's why I'm going to the School of Journalism now.
Oh, School of Journalism. All they teach you is how to type neat copy. Dot your I's, cross your T's. I never heard of them showing any boy how to get a good story. You want a job with us, Don, you'll have to prove yourself.
Yes, sir, but how?
How? How does any young fella prove his ability? Goes out and finds a story, that's how. Not just a little brush fire or church social. A good story. You understand?
Yes, sir, I guess I do. Well, I'll keep my eyes open, Mr. Merritt.
You do that, son. Do that. And shut the door on your way out, will you?
He gives you the brush off, and it smarts a little. But you've got your eye on that job, Don Morrissey. And you figure if there's ever a decent story to come out of a quiet little place like Elkhorn, it'll come out of the police station. So you go down to talk to Sheriff Oliver Clayson. Tell him what you're after.
Son, let me ask you something.
Yes, Sheriff?
You're supposed to file copy out of Elkhorn for the Associated Press and the United Press. Is that right?
That's right.
All right. How much have you filed?
Well, nothing, sir. Nothing's happened.
That's it, Don. That's your answer. People here are decent, law-abiding. Oh, we have an occasional drunk, burglary once in a while. Want my advice?
Sure do.
Get out of Elkhorn after you graduate. Go to a big town. For instance, look at this. This morning's Milwaukee Journal. Here. Look at those headlines.
Edward Vaughn, missing. Wealthy Milwaukee brewer kidnapped by armed thugs. First ransom note received last night.
See what it means, son?
Okay, Mike, I'm in for $5 more.
I'll see you, Sam.
I'll raise you both. Cost you 10.
Well, I'm in.
Me too. What do you got, Leo?
Full house. Queen's high.
How do you like that? Me with a lousy straight.
Me with 3 bullets.
Better luck next time, suckers.
Next time? Are you kidding, Leo?
Yeah, you're in me and Sam now for a couple of hundred.
Oh, you cheap punks. What are you whining about? Crying your crummy heads off for nickels and dimes when we're sitting back waiting for $100,000?
Yeah, waiting is good. We've had Vaughn stashed away in his broken down hideout for a week and still no payoff.
Takes a little time to negotiate.
It's taking too long.
Either of you two think you can do it better?
Now, look, Leo, we didn't mean nothing.
We was only thinking of...
You're not supposed to think. I'll do the thinking around here. We'll spring Vaughn when his contact agrees to pay off. And until he does, you two crumb bums are going to sit on your lard bottoms and wait. You understand?
Yeah, yeah, sure, Leo. You're the boss.
Only we was just wondering when you're going to make contact again, Leo.
Well, I figure they must be getting ripe about now. I'm putting in a phone call tonight. Look, we're tired of waiting. Either we get $100,000 tonight or you don't get your boy, you understand? That's better. Now, we want it in 50s and hundreds. That's right, 50s and hundreds. Unmarked bills and no cops around on delivery. Just keep your mouth shut and your ears open. I'm going to tell you how we want it.
Hey, Leo.
Yes, Sam?
You think we're cool by this time?
Yeah, we should be. We've laid low a month since they paid off.
Brother, I can't wait till we get to Miami.
Miami. Boy, am I nuts about Miami.
Hey, Leo, what town is this?
The sign says Elkhorn, Wisconsin.
Elkhorn. You can have it. These towns. They all look the same and they all sound the same. Elkhorn. Step on it, will you, Sam?
What do you want, egg in your beer? This is the main drag. I'm doing 60 now.
Yeah, and there's a curve up ahead. You better slow it down, Sam. Don't want any of these jerkwater cops to catch. Slow it down. Watch the road, you crazy fool. Look out for that telephone pole. Look out!
Sheriff Clayson.
Sheriff, Don Morrissey.
Oh, yeah, Don.
I was just driving down Main Street when I saw a big car smacking into a telephone pole. Knocked the pole half over and kept right on going.
Where did this happen?
At the curb in front of Bethel Church.
What kind of car, did you notice?
Well, it looked like a Chrysler Imperial. Must have been going 60 at least.
60, huh? The speed limit's 30.
Yeah, not only that, the telephone pole's ruined. Phone company's going to be plenty sore when they find out about it, Sheriff.
All right, Don, thanks. I'll alert the highway patrol right away.
Hey, Leo.
Yeah, Mike?
Take a look through the back window. There's a motorcycle cop on our tail.
Yeah, you're right. Someone must have seen us crack that pole.
I better pull away from him.
You're nuts, Sam. Slow her down.
But, boss...
I said slow her down. Now stop the car.
We don't want to talk to any cops, Leo. Not right now.
Put away that gun, stupid. I'll handle this.
But how? Leo, I don't like it.
What are you worrying about? A small-town cop? These local characters don't even know the time of day. Now slow her down, Sam.
Yeah, but...
But nothing. Put away those guns and act dumb. That shouldn't be too hard for either of you. Let me do the talking. We'll be out of this burg in an hour.
You, Don Morrissey, stop in at headquarters shortly after the three men are brought in. One of them, a man who says his name is Joe Winters, seems to be their spokesman when the sheriff asks him...
Where'd you think you're going, mister? To a fire?
I'm sorry, Sheriff. We were anxious to get to the lake and get set up for some fishing in the morning.
At Lake Geneva, huh?
That's right. My friends and I came down from Milwaukee for the weekend. You know how it is. You get three fishermen together and it's only a weekend. Well, you want to get in all you can. That's why we were going so fast.
Mr. Winters, that's no excuse. We got speed laws in this town. 30 miles an hour. You were going 60. That'll cost you $25 or 10 days.
Sheriff, as I said, I'm the first to admit we were wrong. And we'll be glad to pay the fine. Is that right, fellas?
Absolutely.
Sure, Joe. Yeah, Sheriff? $25. All right, boys, let's go.
Just 1 minute, Mr. Winters.
Yes?
I ought to jail the whole bunch of you for driving in a manner to endanger the lives of the public. But seeing as it was so late at night, I guess there wasn't any danger to anybody but yourselves. However, there's a little matter of damage to that telephone pole.
You ought to see the front of our car.
That's your business, but that telephone pole is our business.
Well, we'll be glad to pay for any damages, Sheriff. How much do you figure it'll cost?
Can't tell yet.
Well, suppose you name a price.
Can't tell until we get a man from the telephone company over here.
How long will that be, Sheriff?
Might be an hour. Might take till tomorrow morning.
You mean we may have to hang around here all night?
Can't let you go till I find out the exact amount of the damage.
Look, Sheriff, we said we'd pay.
Both of you just shut up, huh?
Yeah,
shut up, will you? The Sheriff says we have to stick around. Why, we have to stick around. After all, we want to do the fair thing, and you wouldn't want us to break the law, would you?
There's something about these three men, Don Morrissey. Something about them that makes you suspicious. The way they talk and act. And now, as the three strangers wait in the deputy's office, you try to tell Sheriff Clayson.
Sheriff, there's something funny about these three men.
What do you mean, Don?
Oh, I don't know. I can't explain it exactly, but the way they act, their clothes.
What's the matter with them?
Well, that's just it. They're all dressed up as though they were going to some fancy summer resort. They look like fishermen to me.
Now, look, Don. Their car's right out front. You take a look in the back. You'll see it's loaded with fishing equipment.
Yeah? I still don't believe it. I'll bet they don't even have fishing licenses.
You're wrong, son.
I am?
The minute they came in, I asked for their papers. Each of them had a fishing license, all in order. Each of them had identification papers. They were all in order, too.
Oh. I see.
Now, why don't you forget it and let me take care of this, huh? I call the phone company. They'll have a man over here in a few hours. The rest is just routine.
You mean after they pay the damages, you let them go?
Naturally. What else can I hold them for? On what charge?
Josh, I don't know.
Neither do I. Now, look, son. I know what's in your mind.
You do?
Sure. You're looking for a story where there isn't any. You're pressing too hard, Don. Take my advice. Go home and get some sleep.
Well, why kid yourself, Don Morrison? Sheriff Clayson is right. You want a story so bad it's running out of your ears. But somehow you can't get yourself to go home. Not quite yet. And about an hour later, you're still in the sheriff's office when...
Come in. Oh, Mr. Winters.
Sheriff, what about that man from the phone company? Any idea when he'll get here?
He told me in a couple of hours, but it may take longer. The man's got to go down and take a look at the pole, Mr. Winters. Then he's got to report back to the company. After that, he'll probably get here with a statement on the costs and damages.
I see. Sheriff, tell you the truth, my friends and myself are getting a little fidgety just waiting around here. I'd like to settle this little thing just among ourselves.
How do you mean?
Well, we're anxious to get up to the lake and bait our hooks, and we figure if we have to pay a little more than the pole's worth, why, we'd just as soon do it. Will you take $100 for that pole and give it to the phone man when he gets here?
Can't.
Why not?
You'll have to pay the exact amount. It's not legal otherwise.
Look, Sheriff, if it comes to less than that, you can do what you want with the extra money. Give it to the policeman's benefit if you like.
Sorry, can't do it.
We'll make it $300.
Sorry, Mr. Winters.
$500. All right, we'll go to $750 if we have to. Now, be reasonable, Sheriff. That ought to buy two or three telephone poles.
I told you for the last time, Mr. Winters, I can't do it. And if you're suggesting this is some kind of bribe, I'll show you some real trouble. You'll have to wait till the phone man gets here, and that settles it. You understand?
All right, Sheriff. That's it, that's it. Guess we'll just have to wait.
Sheriff.
Yeah?
Why should they offer to pay all that money just for a damaged telephone pole?
You heard him. They want to get on with their fishing.
Yeah, but they went as high as $750.
Son, you don't know fishermen. When they get a smell of their favorite game, money's no object. Not only that, these fellows seem well-heeled. To a lot of people in this world, that kind of money doesn't mean a thing.
Sheriff Clayson passes it off. But not you, Don Morrissey. You figure these strangers are just anxious to get going for other reasons of their own. You try a shot in the dark. You go into the deputy's office where the men are waiting. Introduce yourself.
So you're the local news hound hereabouts, huh?
That's right.
Glad to know you, Morrissey.
Hey, kid.
Yeah?
What's the matter with the sheriff? He out of his mind or something? We offer him 7.5 for that lousy telephone pole and he turns us down.
Why? Well, that's the way he is.
Well, he's a lame brain if I ever saw one. Joe, maybe you should have told him we'd pay in cash. Maybe he figured you'd try to palm off a rubber check on him.
Why don't you keep your mouth shut?
Well, I was only
saying... Button it up and keep it buttoned, will you? You have to excuse my friends, Morrissey. They got one-track minds. They think you can buy anything with money. I don't know why I took them fishing with me. I should have left them home.
Well, you'll enjoy the fishing in Lake Geneva, Mr. Winters.
Yeah, I hope we will. I hear it's pretty good.
Yeah, they're catching a lot of bluefish this summer.
Fine. I haven't got myself a good bluefish in 2 years. If we get a few this time, I'll figure the weekend was worth it.
Sure, Mr. Winters, sure. Well, I wish you luck. Sheriff Clayson, these men are phonies.
What do you mean, phonies?
They weren't going fishing. They don't know a thing about the sport. I just talked to them. It seems that they hope to catch a couple of bluefish down in Lake Geneva. Only there's one thing wrong with that picture. Bluefish is a saltwater fish. Why, they could fish Lake Geneva for 100 years and never hook one.
All right, son, but I see no reason to get het up about it. They could be amateurs. Their fishing equipment is brand new. Maybe they don't know a bluefish from a smallmouth bass. You take Wisconsin this time of year, it's crawling with amateur sportsmen.
Yeah, but, Sheriff, I'm trying to tell you...
Look, Don, I told you. Don't go looking for a story where there isn't any. Come in.
Say, Sheriff, my friends and I are getting a little hungry. Any place we can get a bite around here?
Well, there's a diner just across the street.
You mind if we step across the street and get a hamburger?
Well, one of you'll have to stay, just for insurance. The other two can go.
Thanks, Sheriff. I'll send my two friends and stay here by myself. Andy, Bill.
Yeah, what is it?
The sheriff says it's okay for two of us to go, so you two go ahead and bring me back a couple of hamburgers. Rare.
Mike, Leo's taking a big chance trying to bluff us out of trouble like that.
Yeah, but he's getting away with it.
So far.
What do you mean, so far?
He's outfoxed the sheriff, but that kid Morrissey, I'm not so sure.
You think he's wise to us, Sam?
I don't know. The way he keeps looking at us, I don't know. Like he figures we're phonies, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but Leo's smart, Sam. And like I said, he's got by with it so far.
Yeah, sure, sure he has. But how do you know what's going to happen until this telephone man gets there? How do you know some joker won't come in, some state trooper off the road and spot us? You never can tell. It could happen. And do you know what that'd mean?
100 years and stuff.
Yeah, maybe 200. And I don't feel like running the risk.
Sam, I don't get you.
You want me to write you a letter or something?
You mean take off? Blow?
Why not? We got our cut of the dough on us, haven't we?
Yeah, but if we blow, we leave Leo holding the bag.
I'm crying in my beer. Leo had to do it his way, okay? Let him sweat it out.
But how are we going to get out of this tank, Tom?
They got trucks coming through here all night. We could stand on the corner and thumb a ride. Well, you with me, or ain't you?
Okay, Sam. I'm with you. Let's get out of here.
You, Don Morrissey, grow fidgety after a while. The other two men seem to take a long time about getting themselves a bite to eat. You decide to take a look in the diner. They're gone. On your way back to the station, you stop and look over their car.
Nothing but fishing equipment here. The other compartment's locked. Well, I'll just move this seat cushion. What? Oh, brother, wait till the sheriff sees these. Take a look, Sheriff. Found these two guns under the front seat. .38 caliber. Some fisherman.
And the two men took off?
Yeah. Waitress told me they left a half hour ago.
Well, son, I guess they had me fooled. Maybe I should have listened to you in the first place. Huh.
I'll send out an alarm to Highway Patrol, and then we'll talk with this man, Winters, whoever he is. All right, Winters. For the last time, you're going to talk? Why did your friends run away?
I don't know.
What about these two guns this young fellow found in your car?
Look, I got nothing to say.
All right. In that case, I'll have to lock you up and book you on suspicion.
You watch the man's eyes shift. You know that already he's planning some way to break out of the building. And somehow you, Don Morrissey, are more than ever convinced that this is big game, really big game. You get on the phone, call the FBI in Milwaukee. Talk to John Welch.
Give me that again, Morrissey.
Well, the leader's a big man. Dark, wild black hair, thick lips, small scar left side of mouth.
The second one, small, blonde, watery blue eyes.
What?
The third, partly bald, reddish hair, a lumpy right ear.
Why, yeah, Mr. Welch, that's right.
Morrissey, you know what you've done?
What?
You just put your finger on the Duran gang. Leo Duran, Sam Falco, and Mike Reno. Wanted all over the country in connection with the Vaughn kidnapping in Milwaukee. As well as several others.
Holy smoke!
Tell the sheriff to triple his guard, Morrissey. That's Duran he's holding right now. I'll get the Alcorn as soon as I can.
The FBI sets in motion a four-state alarm for the two escaped men. Meanwhile, the agent, John Welch, comes up and identifies Leo Duran. And a short time later, in the sheriff's office...
Welch speaking. Oh, yes, here's... What? Where? Good. Bring him back here and we'll take him on back to Milwaukee.
Good news, Mr. Welch?
Couldn't be better. They just picked up Sam Falco and Mike Reno in a gin mill near Lake Geneva.
And that's it, Don Morrissey. Except for one thing. On the same day, Mr. Merritt, the editor of the Elkhorn Independent, calls you in.
Don, I'm proud of you. You certainly put Elkhorn on the map.
Well, thank you, Mr. Merritt.
Yes, sir. Got reporters from all the big papers in the Middle West in town right now. All those fellas from the big papers trying to find the Duran gang, and we find them right here in Elkhorn.
Yeah, sure. I guess we were pretty lucky, Mr. Merritt. Now, about that job, I'll be going back to college in a couple of days, but I figure that maybe next year
I... Next year? Son, if you want it, the job is yours right now.
Now we read you that telegram from Don Morrissey of the Elkhorn, Wisconsin Independent.
During trial, one of the kidnappers hung himself in his cell. The government failed to convict the other two on the kidnapping referred to, but convicted them on a previous kidnapping and successfully brought them to subsequent trial. They were both sentenced to 99 years at Joliet.
And so ends another big story. In order to protect the names of people actually involved in tonight's authentic big story, the names of all characters in the dramatization were changed, with the exception of the newspaper reporter. Big Story has been a presentation of the United States Armed Forces Radio Service.
That's The Biggest Catch from 1953, an episode of The Big Story. Next up, we have some comedy. It's going to be Bob Hope with his guests, Brenda and Covina. This was recorded in 1946.
Tonight, from the Pasadena Community Playhouse, Pasadena, California, we bring you Bob Hope and his guests, Brenda and Covina. How do you do, ladies and gentlemen? This is Bob broadcasting from the Pasadena Playhouse Hope. Well, here I am in Pasadena. Pasadena, that's Ovaltine spelled backwards. That just means it's restful here, that's all. It's wonderful to be in Pasadena again. I was here for the Rose Bowl game, and I just dropped back to look for my fenders. But I like it here. Pasadena is such a quiet town. In fact, it's so quiet, after 9 o'clock at night, they make you wear a vest and muffle your heart murmur. Yes, sir, this is really a quiet town. I've heard if you drink a 7-Up here, they have a special bus that takes you to Glendale to burp. If you get a flat tire here, you have to get out, run alongside with your finger in it, and wait till you get to Monrovia before you let the air out. But it's healthful here. The people live to be very old in this town. I know because they have the only public library in America with adrenaline on tap. One guy here is so old, he's only been to see the Outlaw twice. The Outlaw, that's Forever Amber with horses. But Pasadena's famous for flowers. Really, there's such a sweet scent in the air around here. I was in town 3 hours before anybody could tell it. You really see a lot of flowers. There's so many, the bees around here have to carry extra fuel tanks. The bees around here have to carry extra fuel tanks. But I'm quite a flower lover myself. For 2 hours today, I stood on Colorado Street admiring the stems. But it's wonderful. But it's wonderful planting things in California. Where else can you plant a little acacia tree and 3 months later have it blow over and cave in your roof? And the ground here in California is really fertile. Yesterday, I dropped a pencil, and before I could pick it up, it was an oak tree with a family from Oklahoma living in the top branch. We've really got rich ground out here in California. In fact, this is the only place I ever saw a gopher wearing mink. I'm becoming a typical California farmer. California farmer, that's a guy who sits up all winter with smudge pots so the oranges will look good in the spring as they float out to sea. And I've been working very hard in my own garden lately. Yesterday, I sprayed 3 rows of petunias and sprayed 4 rows of iris, and I sprayed 5 rows of carnations, and I had to quit. My lips got tired. They told me I should plant some bulbs. I don't know whether I planted the right kind or not, but I've got the only garden in the world that lights up during electrical storms. But But there's one man in this program who's completely at home here in Pasadena in the ritzy social world. A man who, when asked by the hostess, will you have the caviar, the blancmange glacé, or the patty de foie gras, or rôtisserie, always smiles and replies in cultured tones.
What's the matter? You crazy or something?
Professor Colonna, how are you, Brush?
Why, I'm ripping, Hope. Ripping.
Really? How come?
Laundry shrunk my shorts.
Colonna, I understand you're a Pasadena society man.
Ah, yes, Hope. It was my destiny to wind up with a cream.
It was destiny that you end up with a cream, Colonna. How come?
Well, I was born in a milk bottle and I just came to the top, that's all. But really, Hope, I only travel with the best. Do you know who I go boating with?
The Earl of Nottingham on the Thames?
No, the Lord of Eagle Rock on the Royal Seco.
You know, Colonna, an imbecile could make good use of your brain.
Okay, Hope, but have him back by Thursday.
Tell me, Professor, now that you're in society, when you're drinking a cup of tea, how do you manage to bend your little finger?
Oh, it's easy, Hope. I just pretend I'm holding a pool cue.
That sounds like a good idea.
Yes, but it doesn't always work out. At Lady Verdvere's party the other night, I got absent-minded and shot the lemon in the side pocket.
Well, Colonna, have you attended any social events here in Pasadena?
Why, of course. Why, I visited a debutante only last night, Hope.
A debutante, huh? Did she come out, Colonna?
No, she couldn't come out, Hope.
Why not?
No leash.
That's a shame. Think of the fun you could have had teaching her to jump through that hole in your head.
She's not my true love, though. I'm really in love with a Pasadena girl who doesn't care for me. She walked out on me today and went to Palm Springs. If I could just sing it to her over the radio, I know I could break her heart.
Well, okay, Professor, go ahead.
Thank you. I'm as restless as a willow in a windstorm. Hello? Yes? Again. To smithereens, you say?
Colonna, did you break her heart in Palm Springs?
No, but I shattered a plate glass window in Seattle.
Thank you very much.
I'd say that I had suffering a fever, but I know it isn't a suffering. I am starry-eyed and vaguely discontented, like a nightingale without a song to sing. Oh, why should I have a suffering a fever when it isn't even a suffering? I keep wishing I were someone else, walking down a strange nursery, hearing words that I have never heard from a girl I have yet to meet. Ah, there you are. Have I met you somewhere before? Tourist. I'm as busy as a spider spinning a daydream. I'm as giddy as a baby on a swing. Whee, whee, whee. I haven't seen a crocus or a rosebud or a robin on the wing.
Ah, but I feel so gay. Get a better call away.
And it might as well be spring. Ah, it might as well. It might as well be. It might as well be spring. It could be winter, summer, autumn, almost any other thing. So it might as well be.
Take it, Skinny Ennis, you're away. Here comes Skinny.
Just a sitting and rocking all day. I don't go out walking. I ain't for no talking. my baby's done left me. Just a sitting and a rocking. If I had been scheming instead of just dreaming, she'd never have left me. Just a sitting and a rocking. Sitting all day without holding my baby. I'm such a lonely papa. And if she don't hurry and come back, I'm a cinch to blow my topper. Now if I don't find her, I hope you remind her that I'm staying where she left me. Just a-sitting and rocking all day. All day without holding my baby, I'm such a lonely papa. And if she don't hurry and come back, I'm a cinch to blow my topper. Now if I don't find her, I hope you remind her that I'm staying where she left me, just a sitting and a rocking all day. Just a sitting and a rocking all day.
Here's Francis Langston. Come on, Francis. Yes, sir. Francis Langford's back and Sunburn's got it. Look at that, huh? That was Skinny Ennis, you know, singing Sittin' and a Rockin', dedicated to my relatives. Well, welcome home from Florida, Francis.
Thanks, Bob. I'm sorry I missed last week's show.
Oh, that's all right, Francis. You'll get paid anyway.
Gee, and I thought the sun was strong in Florida.
We've had lots of it here, Francis, up to our knees.
Well, Bob, it was nice of you to let me visit my folks on their farm and rest for a couple of weeks, and I want to thank you very much. It was really very
sweet. Skip that. Where's the pound of butter? Francis, we're really happy that you got back for our show here in Pasadena.
Oh, I am too, Bob. Gee, Pasadena's a ritzy town, isn't it?
I'll say, Francis, so ritzy the fire department uses nothing but nylon hose.
By the way, Bob, is your nephew here in school in Pasadena?
Well, no, Francis, they expelled him. They found out he was born with only a silver spoon in his mouth. Let's do a little scene about society kids getting out of school, all right? Music, Skin. A couple of society kids after school. Hit it, boy.
Onesie, twosie, I love you. Zee, twosie, threesie, kiss me, easy.
Well, Reggie, school's over for another day. Let's go home.
Francine, are you losing your mind? Don't walk out with those common children. Jeeves?
Yes, Master.
Piggyback us down the stairs. Jeeves, the exit is over on the right. Why do you keep going left?
Well, that's not my fault, Master. You're using the wrong spur.
Oh, foodles.
Reggie, how come you're back in school? I thought you had a woman tutor at home.
A woman? I did, but Mother let her go.
She let her go?
Yes, Father wanted to do all the homework.
Oh, look, Reggie. There goes that teacher you don't like.
So it is. Jeeves?
Yes, Master.
Dampen my spitball for me.
Oh, look, Reggie. Here comes another little boy over here. Does he know you?
Hiya, Stinky.
He knows you.
Yeah. Hiya, Francine. Can I carry your books home from school?
Beat it. This is my girl.
Oh, your mother's bustle stretcher.
Ah, your Aunt Fanny's foot warmer.
Oh, let's not argue. Come on. Let's play marbles.
Can't. I lost my marbles.
I know, but I mean the kind you shoot.
Come, Reggie. Let us be on our way.
Okay.
Gee, why don't you come with me? I'll carve your initials in the tree.
I know, but it's more fun with Reggie. He can do it without a knife.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to let you go with Reggie.
Let loose of her armor. You'll be sorry.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, 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 oh.
Stop. Stop. I've had enough.
You sure?
You sure you've had enough?
Yes, yes.
Okay, Francis, let him up.
Folks, we're at the Pasadena Playhouse, the famous theatrical incubator for Hollywood talent. It was here that Hopalong Cassidy learned to hop. It was here that Nelson Eddy first mixed the batter for his shortening bread. And it was here that Ray Milland pulled the cork out of his first bottle. And while such stars as these were being groomed for Hollywood, our hero, Bob Hope, was still in Cleveland, wiggling his way off a meat hook. But tonight, Bob Hope realizes one of the ambitions of his life, to produce his own play. This is a sequel to the movie The Outlaw called Jane Russell's Back, or wait, I'll get my hat and go with you. And now we find Bob on his way to have his play produced.
Ah, here's the manager's office. He'll be glad to read my new play, I know. Well, here goes. I have a new...
Did I say we don't want any?
Colonna, you're the manager of the Pasadena Playhouse. I want to talk to you about a play I've written. Just radio.
Give it back to them as soon as we get through.
If it's still here. You can get 8 to 5, we blow the joint up, I know that. You're the manager of the Pasadena Playhouse. I want to talk to you about a play I've written.
All right, but I'm warning you, I'm in a bad mood, Hope. I've been on the phone for 3 hours.
You've been on the phone for 3 hours? How come, Colonna?
Cleaning woman left it in my chair.
Colonna, what famous plays have you ever produced?
Have you ever heard of Tobacco Road?
Did you produce Tobacco Road, Colonna?
Well, not exactly. I designed the cuspidors.
Colonna, you're driving me to an early grave.
Good, now buy the gas.
Colonna, tell me, what plays have you made recently?
Oh, come now, Hope. Do I pry into your personal life? Say, Hope, what's your play about?
Well, it's a Western play, Colonna. Have you seen that new film, The Outlaw?
Well, my eyes don't pop out like this from wearing tight shoes.
Say, Mr. Colonna, there's a couple of girls in your outer office. They want to act in your next play.
Gee, I wonder who these two aspiring actresses can be. Who knows? They may be the next Betty Grable and Lana Turner.
Brenda, what is it, Copina?
At the Pasadena Playhouse. Do you think I'll get the part?
Which part are you talking about, Covina? You got so many of them missing. Oh, but we should be sensational on the stage since we've developed these smooth voices.
Well, they should be smooth by now. We've been gargling enough Jergens lotion. Oh, you know, Brenda, I ain't so bad looking.
I have to admit, you look like a real movie star, Cabina.
Do you really think I look like a movie star?
Sure. Tell me, are those sunglasses you're wearing, or did you comb your eyebrows down?
Oh, well, perhaps I do need a little touching up. Pardon me while I make myself beautiful.
Okay, I'll read a couple of novels. Gee, just think, Cabina, maybe they'll discover us here and I'll replace a Hollywood star.
Oh, don't be silly, Brenda. I've told you 1,000 times Lassie still has a few good years left in him.
Maybe so, but Trigger ain't getting any younger. Cabina, help me make up my face.
Okay. Here's your lipstick, Brenda. And here's your lips.
Oh, that's right. I forgot I loaned them to you for that double date last night.
Oh, gee, I hope Bobsy likes my dress. Brenda, I think I hear a man coming.
No, I think it's a woman.
I tell you, it's a man.
It's a woman.
It's a man.
Hello, girls.
Well, what do you know, Brenda? We're both wrong.
Hello.
Oh, I bet you didn't expect us, did you, Bobsy?
Well, no, I didn't put the ice card out.
Oh, we want to act in your new play. But before we start, are you the type of producer that makes passes at the girls?
Of course not.
Then you got to pay us a salary.
Professor Colonna is the producer here, girls. Now let's go in his office and I'll see what I can do for you. Professor, I want to introduce you to Brendan Cabina. They just came over to see you from Eagle Rock.
Well, quick, put them back under it.
Well, Colonna, do you think you can use them in the cast of The Outlaw?
Well, I don't know, Hope. I just ordered the medium-sized saddles.
These girls will take any part you give them, Professor.
Good. I want Brenda to play the shutter.
Brenda, play a man?
Why not? We can pretty her up.
Pretty me up? Gee whiz, don't you think I look like Lana Turner?
Well, not exactly. You look more like her sister, Stomach Turner.
Well, come on, Professor. Let's start rehearsing my play, The Outlaw.
All right, Hope. You give us your best acting, and I'll go get the rye bread and mustard.
Let me out of here. They can't keep me in here. I'm Billy the Kid, the famous outlaw. No jail can hold me. I'll tear these bars apart with my bare hands. Anybody got Bogart's phone number? Let me out! Let me out! Let me out! Why doesn't Jane Russell come to save me?
Well, your time has come, Billy. We're going to take you out and string you up.
I'll save you, Billy. I'm Jane Russell.
You're Jane Russell?
Did I arrive in time?
Yeah, you got here before television.
Oh, my darling, it's so wonderful to be in your arms.
Aha! Here you are. I caught the two of you at last. Thought you could get away from Dick Tracy, did you? Aha! I'll fix you. Oh!
Oh! You're Dick Tracy. Why did you kill Jane Russell and Bob Hope?
Jane Russell and Bob Hope? Great Scott. I thought it was Gravel Gertie and B.O.20.
For the memory of being here to do this weekly show for you, to folks out there upon the air and Pasadena too, we thank you so much. And thanks for the memory of happy tots at play who run and laugh all day. We're asking you to make this true for crippled kids who'll say, we thank you so much. I want to thank very much for Brendan Cabina for a fine job. How about that, huh? They're wonderful. They're great. I hope you have a nice trip, Hope. I hear you have a nice 1946 broom. Is that right, huh? That's wonderful. No, really, thanks very much. You were wonderful. You really, I love you. You know, ladies and gentlemen, the other day I was playing golf over at Lakeside with my father, Mr. Cross, and on the 13th hole, I sent one off in the Great Circle route. It started for Azusa, bypassed Cucamonga, and wound up across the fence directly behind me. Two little boys who were out hiking started after it, yelling, "Finders, keepers, losers, weepers," and I wondered why one of the kids swayed so much from side to side. Then I noticed that his left leg was shorter than his right and stiff at the knee. He didn't come within 50 feet of getting that golf ball. The other lad got there first. But I thought, what a game little guy for trying. And I realized he might have gotten there first if he'd had the help of the National Society for Crippled Children. Good night.
Thank you.
Mrs. Radio Service. That's it for this week. We'll be back next week with more old-time radio. I hope you can join us then. Till then, this is Jim Dolan thanking you for listening.